Welcome to All Things Beer. I'm Mark Richards. As part of All Things Beer, I'd like to introduce you to what I call a beer worth drinking. Sometimes you just have a beer, but when you truly come across a beer worth drinking, you have to pause and take a note of it. So grab a beer and join me to discover a beer worth drinking. And we got beer. It's what your right arm is for. Welcome back to A Beer Worth Drinking. Got a Columbus classic for you today. Columbus Brewing Company's GABF award-winning double IPA, Bodie. A double IPA that is super sought out around these parts. So it's got a nod to the old and the new, in my opinion. Without further ado, let's crack this one open. If you got one at home, grab it. Now I'm pouring this into a Spiel IPA glass, which is a pretty fancy pants glass. It's got little ribs at the bottom, keeps the carbonation going, a nice bowl-shaped top so you can keep all the aromatics of your IPA in check. This looks beautiful as it's pouring. It's a medium amber with a khaki-colored head. There's a slight haze, but I sure wouldn't call this a hazy beer. Man, the aroma here, this is just like that good old-school pine, but then with a little bit of that new school with the tropical and some citrus fruit. Maybe just a touch of like tea and caramel on the nose. It's bittersweet, earthy, a little resinous, but then you get this tropical fruit layered on top of caramel malt, which is really nice to have just a little bit of a malt backbone to this. Not too much. And then that final bitterness, it's not going to knock you over, but it's going to make you want to take another sip for sure. This is kind of medium-bodied and a pretty dry finish overall. It's an excellent IPA. So Columbus Brewing Company was founded in 1988 by Jeff Edwards, and CBC is one of the longest-running breweries in Ohio and the oldest brewery of the new age in Central Ohio. It got its start with 1,500 square feet, 476 South Front Street, behind Gibby's Restaurant. And boy, did I love going to Gibby's. That was a great spot. Cool little bar, had phenomenal wings, and really good seafood gumbo. Used to go there all the time. Enter Scott Francis. Scott Francis is a legend and brewing pioneer here in Columbus, Ohio. And in 88, he began his brewing career when he was hired by the Edwards family to set up CBC, Columbus's first microbrewery. Scott was then CBC's brewmaster for 2 years until another dream opportunity presented itself. He left CBC to help start Barley's, that is still down in front of the convention center and still in existence today, just down High Street from the original location. But before he left CBC, he hired and trained his replacement, Ben Pritchard, to carry on the work of crafting CBC's outstanding products. Francis would inspire and influence countless local brewers to kick off the scene as we know it today. When Francis started the original Columbus Brewing Company in 88, he knew he wanted to make authentic British-style ales at a time when nobody even knew what microbrew was, let alone thought they wanted one. This was the time of the yellow fizz. Francis now produces stellar beers at Temperance Row Brewing in the same style that he started off with in 88. Great place to get British-style ales. Temperance Row is in Westerville and has a fantastic deli attached to it. So back to Ben Pridgeden, a local musician that played bass in the Columbus band The Squids. He was an avid home brewer and worked for Francis while the groundbreaking local brewer moved most of his energies over to Barley's. Pridgeden accompanied the master brewer to 5 different breweries, learning about a diverse set of equipment on the job. Pridgeden spent some time in New York, returning to Columbus in 1992, where he ran into Francis and began almost immediately to work with him and Vince Falcone. When Falcone left, Pridgeden took over as head brewer for the company and oversaw its move to a new building at the west end of Liberty Street in tandem with an independently owned restaurant, also sporting the name Columbus Brewing Company. This was, at that time, a Cameron Mitchell restaurant who had really just started opening some restaurants in and around the Columbus area. Pridgeden recalls Francis's distaste for the nuts and bolts of a production brewery. He was never intrigued with the idea of a production facility, tracking cooperage, negotiating wholesale contracts, introducing bottled products, etc. That was where Pridgeden really wanted to focus his energy. So when Prigent took over in 95, he negotiated, designed, and oversaw the building of the new facility, which opened the following year. Impressively, he undertook a seven-week tour with local band RC Mob that year. And oh man, did I love Royal Crescent Mob back in the day. Happy Chichester has to be one of the most underrated artists in Columbus music history. Prigent is likely also one of the first to brew a hoppy American-style ale in Columbus. His brother had lived out on the Oregon coast, where Ben became familiar with Rogue, Pyramid, and Red Hook, early purveyors of the new dominant style. He also got CBC the Mammoth Venerable Community Festival, ComFest, booked, where during 3 days in June, they would sell 250 kegs. And if anybody knows me, I love ComFest. CBC still has their beer there every year. And I look forward to cashing in my volunteer tokens with pride to get me a CBC at the end of the day. So in 1997, Columbus Brewing Company, which was fighting hard to keep crafting beer in Columbus, made the big step of moving to a production space to allow them to crank up more fermenters to keg and bottle more beer for more people. Back to Cameron Mitchell. This partnership came about by attaching the restaurant called Columbus Brewing Company to the front part of the building. They had a glass window where you could see into the brewery. It was a really cool space, actually. The restaurant was owned and operated by Cameron Mitchell, but the operating agreement would be called Columbus Brewing Company Restaurant. The restaurant showcased CBC's beers. You could always count on all of them being on tap there and hosted special events for the brewery. The opening general manager, Doug Griggs, teamed up with Mike Campbell to buy the restaurant from Cameron Mitchell in 2007. The brewery-restaurant relationship continued, even though the ownership of the brewery has changed multiple times along the way. While that relationship soured in the final years, the pairing was historically good for both businesses and customers. For many years, it was one of the premier craft beer destinations in the Midwest, and it was not uncommon for people to drive from out of state for a meal and a few growlers of Bodie. Which, by the way, as I'm getting through this glass, tastes so good. Over the years, CBC has revolutionized the craft community. They're one of the first craft brands to introduce an IPA to the Ohio market, and then introducing Bodie, the most popular double IPA in the state, in 2014, much before the style gained popularity that it has today. So in 2016, after almost 20 years of coexistence, Columbus Brewing Company, the brewery side, sued the Columbus Brewing Company restaurant in federal court over use of trademarks, logos, and other copyrighted property. The brewery owns the name now, Columbus Brewing Company, and the brewery wanted its restaurant to be called something else. So in 2018, that came about, and Oxbow on Short was the name they came up with. This has changed hands multiple times since then. I believe now it's called Matt and Tony's, which is by the same owners as Pat and Gracie's over here in Clintonville. So in 2006, prior to CBC, in this time, we would introduce Eric Bean. He was formerly the brewmaster at Gordon Biersch, which was down in the Arena District, and it was fairly popular before hockey games, but it was kind of a national restaurant and brewery chain that began in 1988 as well. It didn't last, and now it's called Goodwood, which is out of Louisville, and again, it's popular during games. But the beer I thought at Gordon Biersch was exceptional. It was mostly German-style lagers. During this time, Eric Bean would master his craft. He attended UC Davis, where he studied brewing science in the Master Brew program under the guidance of a German-trained brewmaster. In 2006, he would buy 40% of the brewery. In 2010, Bean and his wife Beth bought out the remainder of the brewery. 2015, they moved away from that location where they had produced beer behind the restaurant to the Old Hills Distributing Building out on the west side. Just recently, in 2022, they would open Beer Hall in the historic trolley barns on the near east side by Franklin Park. And man, what an amazing space it is. I currently run Euchre on Monday nights there in this space, and boy, does everybody love the amenities that are so far and above where our Euchre Club historically played. The last few years, they've had a tap room connected to the production space, and it is currently closed as they focus on Beer Hall and reconcept to one day provide us with the best experience imaginable. Their tap room attached to the production space is currently targeted to reopen in spring of 24. I'll be curious what that space looks like, but until then, drinking at Beer Hall is a luxury. They've got great food there too. Possibly one of the best burgers you can get here in a brewery in Columbus, and their pizza, kind of leans towards a Detroit style and is pretty darn good. I've been splitting a pizza with my partner Joey Chambo almost every week at Euchre. Well, my glass is empty and hopefully yours is too. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about Columbus Brewing Company's history if you didn't know already. And thanks again for listening to A Beer Worth Drinking. If you have a beer worth drinking, send me an email at allthingsbeerpodcast.com and I'll be happy to give it a try and review it. Until next time, cheers.